doesn't really deal with the verse or necessarily even the topic, but in a larger sense, it all kind of ties together. What I want to talk about this morning really and truly directly affects you guys on a personal level. There's certain things that your generation, young people, there's certain things that your generation is facing today that when I was a kid, I didn't have to face, and that's only been about 30 years ago when I was about your age. I want you to pay attention and to listen, because if you understand, if you walk away from here today understanding what we're going to talk about, what it's going to do is give you a firmer foundation of why you call yourself a Christian. Okay? It's going to help you. It's going to give you some tools to say, you know, this is why I believe what I believe. Okay? So before we go any further, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Father, I would ask that God the Holy Spirit would teach us today. Father, I pray that everybody in this room, everybody that's listening, would pay attention. I pray, Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up. And I just want to thank you for this time together and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So we're going to be in the book of Romans. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 1. We're going to deal... Does anybody remember the verse that I asked you to read? Romans 1:25. Jalen, read Romans 1:25 for us, man. What version do you have? Okay.
For they exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is best forever. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Very good. All right. This, we are all equal, therefore everything must be acceptable. Is that true? Have you guys ever heard that before? Have you ever heard anything similar to that? We are all equal, therefore everything must be acceptable. Okay? Yeah, we are. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. What we're going to discover this morning is that everything is not acceptable. That there are certain things, certain lifestyles that you guys face that need to be understood to be wrong. Okay? Romans 1:25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. I want you to zero in on those words, exchanged, worshipped, and served. And what I want to do, I don't know if anybody remembers, but I talked about two numbers. One and two. And what we're going to do, we're going to develop two worldviews from these two numbers. Okay? And I'm going to call this, I'm going to call it one-ism, ISM. And it's basically a view of how you see the world. And I'm going to call this one two-ism. Okay? Now, one-ism, by definition, is a theory of oneness. All is one. We'll just call it all is one. This one, the second one, two-ism, is that there's God, and then there's His creation. So that there's two things going on there. One-ism is the theory of oneness. This belief system states that all is one, and that everything shares the same essence, everything is part of the divine. After all, if we are all one, if everything shares the same essence, then it follows that since God is part of creation, we share part of His divinity. This is oneness. This is a lie. Okay? This is worshiping the creation instead of worshiping the Creator. What you guys are facing today, and what we adults, everybody, we are facing this lie. It is becoming rampant throughout the world. The whole world is trying, everybody's trying to say that, you know what, we're all good, we're all divine. We need to worship nature. It's all part of everything. And since God is in creation, then by golly, we must be God too. This is called one-ism, guys. This is a lie. Two-ism, creation and the Creator are separate. God is outside His creation. He created it, but He does not exist within it. God is completely different from us. He's a completely different existence. All creation shares a similar existence, but God is outside of it. This is two-ism. This is the truth. And the sooner you guys get a hold of that, the better off you're going to be, and you're going to have a better understanding of why you call yourself a Christian. Because Christianity is all about the God who is outside of His creation. Now what I want to do, I want to talk about three things this morning in regards to Romans 1:25 and also our main passage, which is verses 18 through 32. So before we go any further, let's go ahead and read Romans 1:18 through 32. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, that in foolish their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural functions of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them." Now listen. This entire passage of Scripture develops from what happens when you do this. When you put creation over the Creator, it's like a downward slope. It starts with how you think about God, and then it goes to how you worship God, and then ultimately it goes to how you, your sexual behavior. And beyond that, with verses 29 through 32, go on to describe further and further degradation, further and further down the slippery slope into sin. Okay? I know you guys deal with homosexuality, and I know that you deal with lesbianism. I know that nowadays, if you don't accept that, then you are ostracized, you're put aside, you're looked down upon. Okay? But I'm here to tell you that the Word of God makes it abundantly clear that homosexuality and lesbianism is wrong. Does that mean that you go around and you, when you see somebody who does that you make fun of them or you avoid them or you look down upon them? Of course not. You love them as Christ loves them. The things that are going on in their lives are no worse than any other sin. Sin is sin. Okay? But the problem is, with that particular type of sin, it affects the people, and it also affects the people around them in ways that are not good. Okay? So, but first of all, I told you that this passage describes a degradation, a falling off of how we of what we believe about God. We could call it theology. It says in verses 18 through 21 that they exchange the truth about God for a lie. In other words, their thinking becomes wrong. He says in verse 18, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them." Everybody in this room was created to worship. There's a God-sized hole in every man's soul that's ever been born or ever will be born. And what men do is their view of God begins to change. And instead of worshiping God, instead of worshiping the Creator, who is outside of His creation, people begin to see God within themselves. Okay? When it comes to worship, they worship the creature rather than the Creator. They worship the Grand Canyon instead of the one who made the Grand Canyon. You see? And finally, it comes to our sexual behavior, and it just degrades into homosexuality and lesbianism. Okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Somebody tell me, was God there before creation? Yes. How in the world can the one who created creation be a part of what He created? It doesn't make any sense. He was there first, then He created. He is separate from His creation. We are not divine. We are not a part of the natural whole. We don't worship trees. You know, we're not one with the trees. Okay? Have you guys heard these things? Yes? Have you? I know Faisal has. Okay? Listen, guys, this is lies. Yeah, well, Big Bang Theory is something a little different. We'll talk about that some other time. But God is separate from His creation. Yet today people see God in everything. This is one-ism. We're all one. Let's all just get along. Interfaith worship. I'm one with the trees. I'm one with the mountains. By golly, I'm God. There you go. That's one-ism, guys. The word pagan is a Latin word, which means of the earth. When you hear the word pagan, when you hear of pagan worship, you need to remember that what the idea is of the earth, okay? So that we worship created things instead of the one who created them. Seeing God as a part of creation leads to paganism. Christians who engage in interfaith worship are delving into one-ism. What is interfaith worship? It's the idea that all religions are the same. There was a charter that was printed, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. I can't remember its title. But it was basically a charter that was signed by many different pastors of many different religions. And basically what it says is we need to all get along and we all worship the same God. And I'm here to tell you that's a flat out lie. Allah is not God. Allah is Satan. You know why? Because Allah, the whole thing about Islam goes completely against two-ism. It goes against everything that the Bible says. Okay? The only true God is the God of the Bible. The only true God is the one that is outside His creation. Can you put up that first thing? I want to read through these things, guys. Read with me. I want to show you some differences between the God of one-ism and the God of two-ism. God is independent, we are dependent. God is eternal, we have a beginning. God is immutable, that means He never changes, we change. God is infinite, we are finite. God is all-powerful, omnipotent, we are not. God is all-knowing, we are not. God knows the future, we do not. God's presence is everywhere in creation, but separate from creation, we are limited to space and time. God is absolute, unlimited, He's supreme. We are relative. We are limited. We are not supreme. God is a perfect being. We are fallen. The one on this side is two-ism. The one on this side is one-ism. Okay? When people begin to think that they're God, then they need to realize that there's no way they can fit into these categories. So what happens is you get a distorted theology. You get a distorted view of who God is. And this distorted view of who God is leads to a distorted view of worship. And it's like a progression, like I told you. It goes from who God is to how we worship to how we behave sexually. And I'm not talking about the people in this room, but I'm talking about the general idea these days that, you know what, it's okay. We should all just get along and homosexuality is okay. It's not okay. My wife is sitting right there. It's supposed to be one man, one woman. That's the way God designed it. Do not believe the lie that's told from our president that we're supposed to accept homosexual marriage. It's not what the Bible teaches. And you need to make a decision. Are you going to be a one-ist or a two-ist? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. This is what you guys are facing. You ever heard of the Green Movement? You ever heard of that? Yeah, does that ring any bells? Green energy? Nothing wrong with the environment, guys. I love the trees. I love the mountains, the lakes, the rivers. But when you make creation your God, you have a problem. I want to read you a short little clip here from a website. It says, the body is equipped with natural self-repair mechanisms that can be flipped on or off with thoughts, beliefs, and feelings that originate in the mind. This is great news because it means, in essence, that you can heal yourself. But how? Mind Over Medicine has a whole section that teaches you the 6 steps to healing yourself. But one of the many simple ways you can flip on your body's self-repair mechanisms is via meditation. That comes from a meditation blog. Guess who the God is in there? It's you. You can heal yourself. You can flip on a switch inside your mind, and anything that's wrong, you can take care of it yourself. That's one-ism, guys. This is what I'm talking about. From another friendly website, or green-friendly website, the earth is sacred, and so is everything which lives in or upon it. Everything is alive and has a spirit. Everything is related. It is vital to connect with others through group ritual. You can experience spirit directly with joy. The heck is all that? We're all part of creation, right? We all have a spirit. The trees out there have spirits. That's what this stuff says, guys. This is what's being shoved in your face. This is what you're being told that you have to believe. But the Bible says different. The truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than creator. How about the movie Avatar? You ever see the movie Avatar? It's a cool movie, isn't it? Special effects are awesome. But you know what the central message of that movie is? One-ism. You remember that part in the movie where the guy's wanting to turn into one of the aliens? And they go and they sit under the tree and he's laying there and all of a sudden the tree seems to come to life and all of a sudden he doesn't have any legs. And now all of a sudden he has legs and he turns into one of the aliens or one of the creatures, one of the avatars. You know who did that to him? It was the planet and the tree. It came alive and it gave him his legs. I call BS on that, guys, because that's exactly what it is. But that's being shoved down your throat. That was one of the highest grossing movies ever. And so kids your age are seeing this stuff, especially kids who don't know Christ, and they're beginning to think, well, man, it's all, you know, we're supposed to worship creation. The trees can heal it. You go off in the toolies. So what are you going to do? Are you going to worship the God who's outside of creation, or are you going to do all that foolishness? You need to make a decision. Because as time goes by, more and more people in your generation are going to begin to adopt these crazy ideas. I'm going to read you a couple of excerpts from this book. By the way, everything that I'm talking about today comes from this book. Highly recommend it if you like to read. I hope and pray that everybody's with me here. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? Okay? All right, good. I just want to make sure. Let's see. Ever heard of, well, You ever heard of centering prayer when it comes to worship? Have you ever heard of yoga? Yoga? It means yoke to God in Sanskrit. Nothing wrong with yoga. That's an exercise. Okay, it's good for stretching and it makes you strong. I'm not busting on yoga, but I'm busting on yoga becoming a part of worship. Because there are certain Christian denominations who engage in yoga as a part of their worship. And that, my friends, is one-ism. How about irrational mysticism, the search for non-ordinary states of consciousness as a sign of true spirituality? Christians practice this stuff. Christian mantras, centering prayer, the Enneagram, how about the labyrinth, where you walk a circular prayer walk found in many religious traditions to produce union with the divine? Christians engaging in pagan rituals. It's one-ism. It's happening in our country and around the world. You guys are so fortunate. You have teachers here this week that are teaching you from the Bible. Imagine that. How about, I was going to read you one other thing. Well, I'll just tell you this. True biblical spirituality starts with an empty tomb. Do you hear what I just said? True spirituality starts with an empty tomb. That's the only true spirituality there is. Everything else comes from Satan. It comes from the devil. A distorted view of God leads to a distorted way of worship, which leads to distorted behavior, especially sexual behavior. Look in your Bibles again at our passage in Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. And then again, look at verse 26. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. That's called lesbianism, guys. Look at verse 27. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural functions of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. That's called homosexuality, guys. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. That's called the AIDS virus, guys. Sexually transmitted diseases. Okay? Does it get any more plain than that? Okay? Now that doesn't mean the next time you come across a homosexual friend that you stick this verse in their face and say, you're wrong. Okay? Like I said, that particular sin, it has dire effects on a person's own body. Okay? But you need to understand that what the Bible says is that that lifestyle is wrong. And that what God says is right is one man, one woman, okay? Married for life, right? Heterosexual behavior, relationship. That's the truth. But today, if you do not accept this behavior, you're ridiculed. Like I told you, our own president has approved, or he believes in homosexual marriage. You know what he is? He's a one-ist. It's pure and simple. And basically, God has said, if this is the road you want to take, have at it. If you want to believe that, have at it. But you're going to pay for it one day. You be different. You stand up for what's right. The UN Charter, United Nations Charter, promotes acceptance of homosexual and lesbian behavior. The UN is the United Nations, and it's becoming a pretty powerful organization throughout the world, so that the entire planet is adopting the idea of one-ism. It's crazy. Does anybody have any questions about anything thus far? Yes, sir. What you mean? What the? Oh well, yeah. It did. It used to be unaccepted. It used to be. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and if you don't accept it, and if you don't think it's all right, then you're... Yeah. And you guys are on the front lines. You teenagers, you guys are on the front lines. You see? And that's the whole reason I wanted to do this class this morning was for you to understand two things. That God is separate from His creation. That we are not all that. There is a God and you're not Him. Because that's what's being taught and shoved down your throats today. And also, the whole homosexual lesbian issue, the Bible says it's wrong. It's just like alcoholism. It's just like a thief. Those are all bad behavior, bad lifestyles, sinful lifestyles. They're all wrong. But this particular issue is being so shoved down your throat today that I thought it was important that we talk about it for a little while this morning. I know people in this room who their own family members ridicule them and disagree with them regarding this issue. Okay? But you need to understand, and see, you need to make a decision in your own personal life. What are you going to believe? Where are you going to stand? How are you going to deal with this? Okay? In answer to your question, yes, it was illegal at one point. I want to read you a short paragraph from this book. Do you see the organic relationship between unnatural rejection of the Creator, unnatural worship of humans and animals, and unnatural practice of homosexuality? Our thinking, our worship, and our sexuality are fundamentally related. This Pauline logic can move in any direction. Mess with your sexuality and you will mess with your worship. Mess with your worship and you will mess with your thinking about God. Mess with your thinking about God and you will mess with your sexuality. No matter which exchange you make, you will begin to adopt a oneist spirituality and ultimately expose yourself to the judgment of God. Absolutes, people. If God says it, then it's the truth. It's an absolute. And if God says homosexuality and lesbianism is wrong, and if God says that He is outside His creation, and if God says that we are not to worship ourselves and be one with nature, what are you going to do? It's an absolute. I didn't say that. God did. So when people promote homosexuality, what they're doing is thumbing their nose at God. When you believe in avatars, you're thumbing your nose at God. You ever thought about that? You need to be really careful of the movies you expose yourself to, the books you read, okay, the people you hang out with, because the whole planet, that Satan is so insidious, he's so subtle in the way that he does things in this country. When Faisal and I were talking the other day, in Pakistan and other places around the world, he doesn't have to be so insidious, he doesn't have to be so subtle, so conniving. He can be a whole lot more out front in how he does things. But here in this country, the way he's doing it is trying to shed, you know, cover you up and put the lies in front of you. And it's real subtle the way he's doing it. Okay. I want to give you a handout. Now listen, this is a page that I printed from this book. This book, it's a little bit wordy. But I want you to read it, because you guys are intelligent and you can handle it. I want you to read it. We're going to read through it together. But I want you to keep it. And when you can, when you think about this, when these things come up, I would encourage you to refer to this little handout. Okay? Somebody want to help me? And then... Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a very good point. If we do accept, yeah, it goes to extinction. Exactly. That's a good point. You guys hear that? If you accept that kind of lifestyle, it'll lead eventually to extinction. All right, once everybody gets one, we're going to read through this together. You ever heard of the word homo? It simply means the same. It's that when you don't go there. Don't start saying, oh, homo. No, don't go there. It's simply a word that has a meaning. Okay? Does everybody have one? Okay, we need one more in the back. It's got homo, cosmology, oneism, making a world of sameness. You ever heard of political correctness? Right? Don't offend anybody. Let's all just get along. Let's all be on the same page. Yes? Social paralytic. Paralysis. I like that. Social paralytic. Homo cosmology defines salvation as a worldwide consciousness of oneness in a self-evolving nature. Existence is an evolving monistic sameness in which distinctions are illusions to be suppressed. This theory affects the three areas of our Romans 1 text. Homo theology makes God and nature one and the same. The divine is a principle of unity and sameness. Homo spirituality worships the sameness of reality, whether objects of nature, images of the self, or experiences of joining the opposites. Homosexuality celebrates sexual sameness in an ideal door into the deep things of nature. Heterocosmology, twoism, making a world of difference. In this worldview, existence has distinctions, opposites, paradoxes, and analogies, divinely written into the creation in the beginning by a God who is other than all he has created. Salvation comes from the outside, from the Creator who, in condescension and grace, establishes reconciliation with his rebellious creatures. We see ramifications in the same three areas. Heterotheology maintains the Creator-creature distinction and honors God as a unique author of life. Heterospirituality follows God's Old Testament stipulations not to worship and serve anything in creation, but only God himself. That's from Deuteronomy 4, 8, and 10. And heterosexuality is a physical, sexual picture of communion and difference. A man and woman express in heterosexual love a picture of the difference and communion between God and his creation and between Christ and his church. You know what this is? This is like a quick reference guide to keep you... I know some words in here are big. I understand that. If you don't understand some of these words, find an adult or get a dictionary and figure it out. Okay? You guys are perfectly capable of doing that. But I want you to hold on to this. And I want you to think about it. And I want you to read it. And I want you to look at the world around you today and see what's going on. And see what's being taught. See what's being promoted. Political correctness. What do you call it again? Societal paralysis? What? Social paralysis? Social paralytic. What's a paralytic? So that they will not breathe. It's like putting on a straitjacket, guys. Not wanting to offend somebody is like putting on a straitjacket. Eventually, you just get to where you can't move and you can't breathe. So if I want to wear a shirt that has an AR-15 on the front of it, which says that I promote and believe in gun rights, and I offend somebody because they don't believe in gun rights, they want me to take off that shirt and never wear it again. So why don't we all just wear white shirts? Right? Why don't we all just look the same, think the same, do the same? It's straight from the pit of hell. I'm telling you, it's straight from the pit of hell. God created us to be free, to be individuals, to have liberty. Okay? All right. I know you guys are tired. It's been a long week, but we're about to wrap it up here in just a second. So how do you respond to the onslaught of oneism in society today? What do? Number one, learn the truth. Twoism. God is outside of creation. Everything we've been talking about, learn it. It's in the Bible. Find a good Bible teaching church or a good Bible teaching ministry, whether it be via tape, computer, or preferably if you can find an actual church to go to that teaches the truth. Because they are getting fewer and fewer and fewer. Trust me, that's the truth. Number two, stand firm in what you believe no matter what. Don't ever give in to pressure to believe something that goes against the Word of God. Number three, show compassion to those who disagree. Don't beat them over the head. There's a lot of people who are confused because they don't know the truth. Okay? Show compassion. Number four, remember that God is in charge and has a plan for your life. All right? Any questions? Any comments? Yes, sir. This is one or two. This is a pretty deep book. I'm telling you ahead of time. But the truth in here is so very important. Yes, sir. You rock, Chris. Good job, man. Good.